fall from sorrow to joy. Which of the two do you think you prefer? Joy, fairly united voice for joy. Some people like to celebrate their misery. Oh, they don't want the misery taken from them. Praise God. The question to start with here this morning is, are we living with, you and I living with Christ in me and me in Christ? In other words, are you and I living soaked into the center of Christ's life with all his life flowing through us? Or are we living with me in myself and myself in me? That's a very, very depressing life, that is. Praise God. One of the things I most rejoiced in when I got saved was to be set free from me. Oh, that's a relief. Praise God. Praise his holy name. When you are born again, you receive Christ Jesus to live at the very center of you as a gift. Totally free gift. And you have been put into the center of Christ as a totally free gift. Hallelujah. You didn't work for this. Didn't earn this. Didn't do anything for this. So the question is, where will I live? Am I going to live in the gift that's been given me? Or am I going to live in me, wonderful me? Praise God. The challenge for us at the beginning. If I live in him, I can live in everything that he has and is. Everything that he has, everything that he is, I can live in it. If I live in Christ, endless resources from Christ. Praise God. Young people, Jesus wants you to live really close to him because he wants you to live in his love and he wants you to live in his peace and he wants you to live in his joy. Praise God. And they are endless, his peace, his love and his joy. That what comes from Christ and through Christ does not come from this world. It all comes from heaven. This is what we're going to see a little bit here this morning. It all comes, he's heaven's man. He's, the scripture calls him the man from heaven. So he's come from heaven with everything heavenly, and he now has cleaned you and me who are born again and put us into the center of the heavenly man, so you and I can now live in all of heaven. Whew. It's wonderful. We can live in heaven's best. See, this earth's joy only lasts as long as you feel well, you're happy, and everything's going your way. You feel joy. If all's going well, you're happy and everything's going well. Soon as the first problem appears, soon as the first disappointment appears, soon as the first delay appears, soon as the first inconvenience appears, the joy is gone. If you're living off of you, if you're living off this world. So the call this morning is that we're going to live off of heaven's joy. We're going to have a look at this little bit here together. To live off of heaven's joy is being given freely to us in Christ, and it is totally unaffected by this world. It's completely unaffected. The peace of Christ is totally unaffected by this world. Hallelujah. And it's constant, it's there for forever, unchanging, never to be removed. And this is where you and I have been invited to live in. What an invitation to come and live in the center of that. It says about Jesus that he was anointed with joy above his brothers. Praise God. He was anointed with joy above his brothers because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. There's the joy in Jesus is heavenly. It's beyond anything seen in this world. And you and I are invited to live right in the center of that joy. So let's open up to Psalm 16, which will help us here in some of this. Anyone at Psalm 16, have a look at verse 8. Anyone looking at that on the page? I have set the Lord sometimes before me. Always before me. Boy, is this a powerful key. I have set the Lord, this is David. I've set the Lord always before me. Praise God. In other words, I don't let Jesus out from my vision. I don't let Jesus out from my conscious understanding. I stay with him. This is the core. I stay conscious of Jesus. You see, young people, whether you're at home or whether you're walking down the road or whether you're at school or whether you're playing, Jesus wants to be a part of it all. He wants you to have him there the whole time. It's lovely. It's lovely. It's a cultivated relationship with him. It doesn't land on a plate, the same as any other relationship doesn't. You have to work at the relationship. And you work at the relationship by saying, Jesus, you're so lovely, Jesus. You're so lovely. You're walking with him. You're looking at things around and you say, oh, Jesus, isn't that lovely? Or you say, Jesus, look at the distress that person is going through. Lord, have mercy on them. You're walking with him. You're living with him. You see, so I've set the Lord always before me, still in verse 8, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I put in brackets away from him for a start. If you stay with him, you see, if you start to taste and see how good the Lord is, you won't go for anything else, because everything else is a paltry disappointment compared to Christ Jesus. So I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. This is a picture of steadiness. This is a picture of steadiness. See, events in life change. Your moods change. The way you feel change. All kinds of things change. But here's not being moved. Not being moved because I have him set before me. Is it wonderful? Praise God. Continuing on in verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad. This is where the joy all comes from, you see. Therefore my heart is glad. You've got a glad heart in you. That means you're living close to Christ. You're easily thrown around. It means you're like the fish John mentioned. That was a graphic picture. I haven't forgotten that. I don't want to flap around on the bank. I don't know about you. I want to stay in the life-giving river that God the Father wants me to be in, namely Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Now when I looked up glory there, it means the fullness of all that I have rejoices. So my heart is glad. I've set him before me, and because of all the resources that are in Christ and because of everything I can freely receive, the comfort, the strength, the assurance, the hope, the faith, the everything that I can receive through him rejoices. My heart is rejoicing because of that. Glory to God. Gladness and rejoicing. The fullness of all coming from the Lord whom I've set before me. My heart is glad. It's saying at the very center of me is gladness. At the very center of me is gladness. The one who set the Lord always before him. Praise God. What's the song? The world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Can't take this away. You can't take Christ away. And if you're fellowshipping with him and you're in his joy and you're in all the fullness of him, nothing can throw you. Glory to God. Praise God. Look down to verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of worries. and at your right hand are pressures forevermore. No? Have I got that wrong? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, it's really excellent to think what joy is. When you look up the word, the New Testament word for joy, it talks about a calm rejoicing. It's very, very interesting. It's not somebody who necessarily is jumping all around the place, although we will do that. We will swing out of the chandeliers from time to time. But I like this. Calm rejoicing. You see, it's all from a settled assurance of Christ. Can you see it? It's all from a settled relationship, a settled sense of Him that brings this wonderful joy. Praise God. That's what it is. Glory to God. So you will show me the path of life. You show me how to remain on the right path in your life. He'll keep you on the path. Praise God. He's your keeper. He's my keeper. He'll keep us on the path. You see, what we do in life, our careers or our work or everything, is secondary to Him being the way that you do it. It's not so much concerned whether you're whatever, but the way that you do it, the way you handle yourself in relationships, the way you handle yourself in honesty of work and honesty of living. So He'll keep you on that path. Does anyone need keeping? I could put both hands up and both feet up. I need keeping. And He's willing to be my keeper. He declares Himself to be my keeper, to keep me on the right path. So His presence is the answer. In your presence is fullness of joy. As I keep aware of Him, keep in the relationship of Him. You see, that in your presence is fullness of joy, as opposed to the worries and the fears that look to get in. Once you focus to His presence, once you sit with Him, once you stay with Him, He deals with the fear, deals with the worry, and leaves you in the joy. Is it wonderful? It's all in Him. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, what is that? It means, you look up the word in Strong's, it means that which is delightful. It means that which is agreeable. It means that which is beautiful. It means that which is pleasant. It means that which is sweet. These are the pleasures. Delightful, agreeable, beautiful, pleasant, and sweet. Does that describe Jesus? Oh, glory to God. I mean, see, is this a wonderful answer to something that's very unpleasant, very disagreeable, very ugly, very unpleasant, very sour? Is He the answer to all this? The pleasures flowing from Him. The pleasures flowing from, I can remember at one stage being in when I first got saved, it puts you into some conflict and so on like that. And some of it was a bit ugly. And so to come to the beautiful one, you totally get all settled. He says, no, you've chosen me. You've chosen the right thing. Let me settle you in this. Is it wonderful? Praise God. If this is what you would like, if you would like to live in delightful, agreeable, beautiful, pleasant, and sweet, Jesus is the one you're looking for. Glory to God. Forevermore. No, forevermore. Praise God. Forevermore. Pleasures forevermore from Jesus. Is it wonderful? Glory to God. Let's just read through the whole scripture again. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And verse 11, you will show me the path of life. in your presence is fullness of joy. In other words, you can't get the quality of joy anywhere else that you can get in Christ. Everything else is passing and fleeting, even a new kitchen. Praise God. Praise God. Fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Now let's go to John 15, and Jesus picking up this very same theme as this. John 15 and verse 11. Praise God. No matter what new thing you get, and you get joy out of it, after a while it becomes quite ordinary. John 15 and verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Look what Jesus is after for us. Wow. Now, when he says, these things I've spoken to you, well, you have a look at what has he just spoken. In verse 4 of the same chapter, he says, abide in me and I in you. This is what we preach here. Abide in him, live in him, let him live in you. He says, abide in me and I in you, verse 4. In verse 5, he says, you'll bear much fruit. He says, this is where all the goodness comes out. This is where all the fruit comes out of you abiding in me. And verse 9, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Praise God. Keep my commandments, keep my instructions. He said, I've spoken all this out to you that my joy may remain in you. You see, it's his joy. It's heaven's joy. Heaven's joy is not shaken around, is not moved around. Heaven's joy is constant. The celebration is constant in heaven. The joy is constant. It's Jesus' joy. It's Jesus' joy. It's not me trying to be a bit more joyful. I've been a bit miserable lately, and I'll pull myself up by my bootlaces and try and be a bit more joyful. No, 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 it's his joy. Freely given, free there to receive as much as you care to drink. His joy. To remain in you. Jesus doesn't want us into misery and then back getting sorted out into joy, into misery and back. No, he says it's remaining joy. Live in it. Live in it. Praise God. His joy. Look what happens in the same verse. His joy filling into you makes your joy full. He fills up your joy. His joy is, he's the source always. His joy fills up and your joy is full. Glory to God. It's this calm, inner, rejoicing settlement of Christ. This is what this joy is. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's glorious. I mean, don't be mistaken by somebody who goes about quietly in their Christian life. Don't be mistaken that that's not joy. No, no, no. It's the calm, inner, settled working of God. It's wonderful. Now look at John 16. Scoot on to John 16, 22. John 16, 22. Jesus has told them he's about to go to the cross. He says, I'm going to be going now. You won't see me for a while, then you will see me again, the resurrection. So he says, therefore now you have sorrow. Jesus was going to be crucified. They couldn't quite understand all this. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, the resurrection, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Revelation of the resurrected Christ, that joy, no one can take that from you. That's permanently established in there by the Holy Spirit. Now look what the sorrow would come from. The sorrow would come because he would be killed and they wouldn't see him. Sorrow comes from not seeing Christ. Sorrow comes from being away from him, according to this scripture here. But I will see you again. As soon as you regain sight of Jesus, the joy returns. But the answer is that we can keep the sight. No, we can keep the sight permanently. And so the resurrection, the joy of it, it remains in our hearts forever. Praise God. It brings a rejoicing, a joy that no one will take from you. Permanent, everlasting joy is ours in Christ. Now, here's a question. Can the joy of the Lord in you be greater than problems, disappointments, inconveniences, and pains? Can it be bigger? You see, the inconveniences, the problems, and the pains all come from this earth. They're real. They're real. We're not saying they're not real. But we're saying that we have received something supernatural. We have received Christ, which lifts us into a place of being able to handle no matter what the situation is. Is that wonderful? Now, listen to the end of, you needn't turn there, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. He says, I'm exceedingly joyful right in the middle of trouble. Well, it's totally unnatural. No, that is completely unnatural. Trouble and sorrow and pains is natural. Trouble and exceeding joy is something heavenly not known on this earth that you and I are free to live in. It's wonderful coming from the heavenly man. Now, let's finish with the last verse, Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Most of us will know this, the end of this verse, but just let's consider this here for a couple of moments to finish up with. Do not sorrow. This is the words of the Holy Spirit. Do not sorrow. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when it says do not sorrow, the word there means to carve or to fashion out worry and grief. In other words, it's something that you and I do. Do not sorrow. Do not carve out worry. Do not carve out fear. Do not carve out these things and take them to yourself. Sorrow not. For the joy of the Lord in you with his joy, is your strength. Is your strength. So sorrow equals weakness and no strength. The joy of the Lord equals strength, everlasting strength as you stay with him. Praise God. Now, Kenneth Copeland has written wonderfully on this here, because he said he was very close to his mum, and his mum died. And after she died, he said he could feel these waves of sorrow looking to come over him. He could feel it approaching, these waves of sorrow looking to come over him. And he had to train himself to say no to the sorrow. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He had to train himself until the waves stopped. You see, the sorrow is there. The sorrow is in the world. But you and I don't have to take it on board. We don't have to live in it. This is the answer. I mean, it's supernatural living. And if you're like that at a time when somebody goes to be with the Lord, people think you don't care. Well, he mustn't have cared, because he's joy-filled. Praise God. Well, I mean, see, we see eternity. We see beyond this world altogether. We don't live just on the plane of this. Wonderful and all as Gravesend is. We're looking beyond, brothers and sisters, to something so, so wonderful in Christ Jesus forever. Hallelujah. You may live free from the sorrow. You may say no. Actually, the context of this scripture is very interesting, because you know what had happened before? They'd been preached all the word of God. That's the context of it. And when they heard the word of God, they mourned. They got into sadness. They probably felt they couldn't It was such a high standard. Maybe this is what they felt, that they couldn't keep up with it, or that they'd let the Lord down so badly. This must have been how they feel. And the leader said, no, sorrow not. You see, sorrow's not supposed to come out from the word. The joy of Christ is supposed to come out from the word to us. Glory to God. And so they said to them, no, sorrow not. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, now get out the food and start partying. Have a look at the chapter yourself and see the setting of this. Because it's a celebration when you have received Christ. Oh, glory to God. It's a joy that no one can take from you. Yes, you'll experience pressures. Yes, there's different things that come and go in life. Yes, there's lots of things that aren't so pleasing, but you're living in Him. You're living in Him. Jesus said, in the world you'll have troubles, but in me. Oh, He says, in me. You'll have the peace. You'll have the joy. You'll have something totally different. Amen. What have we looked at? We've looked at in His presence is fullness of joy. And that Jesus' plan for you and for me is that His joy would remain in you. This world has sorrows and troubles in it, and God calls you to live in Him and not in them. The joy of the Lord keeps you in strength. Sorrow, grief, and heaviness robs you of life and strength and joy. Amen? So we're going to choose Him the strength. We're going to choose Him the joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is my strength.